Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Now playing timestamp 13-12-01 from January 18th. It begins at file number 705-466-275-931-0760-948.
So I was
going to
ask you.
You couldn't estimate.
You got that.
So we found there was like free stuff. So we just got a scooter, which is maybe here's the length of scooter, and then we did a softball at this place.
Good.
Love to see that works. Wanna try it out, Ron?
How's the presentation go?
Good.
Look at the tire.
Okay. See if we can put the tire back on. Did you just buy that one?
Yeah. Here, wanna try this
one?
I'm going to do returns at Walmart right now. It's just one. Well, there was a spring. I figured, someone had broken it. It went down. No, I told her I'd spray it down if he wants it.
This?
If he wants it. I'm going to do it. I'm going
to do it.
What do we get?
How did you break it? Want to try this one? Want to try this? This is Hot Wheels. Want to try it?
Yeah.
Do what? Bring down?
Yeah.
Well, that's good for you. No, that's good for you. Go ahead and go try it. Sure. Yeah, he emailed me saying some of the girls had said turning this week.
Thank you.
Or do they just come off the driveway and play?
Now playing timestamp 13:46:17. That is 1-6-4-2-5-4-4-1-3-4000 on January 18th, 2022. And I will put the time on the record in a moment. At 5:15 p.m. Eastern on January 18th, 2022.
Good.
playing January 23rd, 2022.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay right there, Bubba. Give me that.
Go get your bat in the backyard. Here, go this way.
That way? That way?
Go in the backyard. Go get your bat. Thank you.
draw it. I found it. I found the ball.
How long is that video?
Less than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Playing timestamp 4:16:53.
I hold in. You hold Megan too?
Yep. It's my turn off. And finally playing 14:23:38, which will be about a minute, and then that will conclude the publishing of Defense Exhibit 17. I'm going to put the leashes here, okay?
I was going to get after the homework, but the homework.
right now. I'll see if there's any. Sprint or something, whatever you want to do, or don't, and just take a shower.
That concludes the publishing of portions of Defense Exhibit 17. And Judge, we're also admitting, well, I can wait for a moment. We have Defense Exhibit 18 by agreement. We're just putting that together, but I think there'll be a stipulation.
Yeah, I don't have an objection to you.
I think we're going to do this, but let's just wait until.
Okay, I don't have an objection to those 1 or 3 videos. I just mentioned from the rest of the time stamp, which is the name
for agreement. For Exhibit 18?
Yes.
Okay, so is 18 being requested to be admitted in evidence without objection?
I have no objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
All right, so the court receives and accepts Defense's Exhibit 18 in evidence without objection.
Thank you.
All right. Let me have counsel approach, please. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, the state is still in their portion of the case. I expect that tomorrow we will conclude the defense case and move into closing arguments and quite possibly deliberations to begin tomorrow. If you'll recall, I told you that the schedule for Wednesday is going to be a little bit different. Originally I was going to have you here at noontime, but because there's some work that needs to be done by the court outside the presence of the jury, I'm going to have you here at 1 o'clock so as to consume as little of your time as possible with us dealing with what we have to do prior to the closing arguments beginning and ultimately your deliberation. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and release you for the day. I'll see you tomorrow. Check in with the jury office at, I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. Check in with the jury office, I would say no later than 12:15. Be up here at 12:45 at the elevators to meet with Mark, and he'll bring you into the jury room for anticipated 1 o'clock start time. I expect that we'll go tomorrow until 5, and then if we're done, we're done. If not, then we'll go back to the Thursday at 9 o'clock schedule. Okay? All right, everyone, have a good evening. Go home, get some rest, good dinner, and I'll see you tomorrow. All right, everyone may be seated. All right, Mr. Ferreter, rather than have the defense advise the court as to whether it rests today, I'm giving you the opportunity over the evening to think about one of those three decisions I had told you a while back that the defendant and the defendant alone has to make the decision of in regard to a criminal proceeding. And you've made the decision about the plea of not guilty, the decision to proceed with trial. So the next decision point that you will need to make will be the decision whether to testify on your own behalf or not. I'm going to give you the evening to speak with your attorneys and let them explain to you the potential risk and consequences of all that. I will engage with you tomorrow in a colloquy to make sure that whatever decision you make is being made by you knowingly and intelligently, freely and voluntarily. So I'm going to give you the evening to think about it. I'm sure it's a big decision for you, and you can ponder on it between now and tomorrow. I do want the attorneys to be present at noontime for noontime sharp start time for us. I intend to address the jury instructions. I also intend to to be advised at that time as to whether Mr. Ferreter is choosing to testify or not. If he, either way, I will conduct the necessary colloquy as I just indicated. Have we made any progress on the jury instructions? Because I'd much prefer that when you come tomorrow at 12 that we have a as close to a final working set as possible, because it, my anticipation is it will go almost, if the defendant testifies, it'll be a little bit of a delay. But if he doesn't testify, we'll go right into closings. And so we're going to need a set of instructions as close to final as possible. We've got nine jurors in the box, 10, 11, 12. Need 13 copies of what hopefully will be a final set. Are there any issues that maybe I can help out now to expedite getting to a final set as quickly as possible for noontime tomorrow? Because we have a little bit of time, and I'd much prefer to come with as close to a final set as possible.
Your Honor, the only thing I could think of is for weighing the evidence, I could go ahead and change that. I know that there, we usually have 6 through 10. Some of them won't apply here. Also,
Mr. Waheed mentioned something about a lesser. Has that been worked out between the two of you yet?
So, Your Honor, I think that this will be something that we will have to litigate as far as the affirmative defense for the aggravated child abuse and for child abuse. I don't know if we can...
What's the standard? We're dealing with a standard instruction on the defense, right?
Yes, but that is only given once they have proved by a preponderance of the evidence certain elements.
Okay, and what are those elements?
So it said if burden of persuasion is on the defendant, if you find the defendant proved by a preponderance of the evidence that he was a parent of RTF and that he imposed reasonable physical discipline on RTF for misbehavior under the circumstances, you should find him not guilty. If the defendant did not prove by preponderance of the evidence that he was a parent of RTF, or if the defendant did not prove that he imposed reasonable physical discipline on RTF for misbehavior under the circumstances, you should find him guilty if all the elements of the charge have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
So that's the instruction. Hold on, Mr. Wade. That's the instruction?
Yes, and then there is one that says if the burden of persuasion is on the state, if you find that the state has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not a parent of RTF, or if you find that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant's physical discipline of RTF was not reasonable for misbehavior under the circumstances, you should find him guilty of all the elements of the charge. You should find him guilty if all the elements of the charge have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
So what is the issue on that instruction with the state? Because it sounds reasonable enough to me just listening to it.
The issue is with the, I don't think that the defense has proven by preponderance of the evidence that he has imposed reasonable physical discipline on RTF for misbehavior under the circumstances. So the whole point of the affirmative defense is saying that, okay, well, this is okay because I was imposing reasonable, you know, punishment on the child. There has been no evidence presented by the defendant that.
But who's to determine the what the defense has proven by preponderance of the evidence? It's in the jury instruction, so isn't that a jury decision? I mean, it's not the court, right? Ultimately, it's not going to be an issue that he's a parent of the child. So the question is going to turn on the reasonableness of the punishment or not to the circumstances, and if that's to be proven by the defense to the standard of preponderance of the evidence, what I'm asking you is that a determination that the court makes before it goes to the jury, or is that something that goes to the jury and they determine as part of their instructions on the law that the state has to, excuse me, the defense has to meet the burden of establishing that defense by a preponderance of the evidence?
Governor, can you give me 1 second?
Yeah, do you want to go ahead, Mr. Weed? Let me hear your position on that.
Yes, so it's like self-defense. It's the defense raises it. Once the defense raises it, then the jury has that to decide. It isn't up to the court to decide. What the court has to determine, I believe, in this particular jury instruction, just by reading 16.1, and it's duplicated in 16.3, which is the lesser, if the court gives the lesser. And it's a question of whether or not the defense has both the burden of raising it in the first place, as well as the burden of persuasion, versus whether...
But by what legal standard? Preponderance of the evidence?
It's preponderance both times. So if I'm just going to go to the state's version that's already printed out in front of me. So it can... The first part of the instruction on affirmative defense is, it is not a crime for a parent who is acting... the parent of a child to impose reasonable physical discipline on a child for misbehavior under the circumstances, even though physical injury may have resulted from the discipline. Part two of that is, and then it depends on whether if the burden of persuasion is on the defendant or on the state. And the instruction gives both options.
So what does the law say on where the burden of persuasion rests? Do you have case law to support your position on that?
So interestingly, the instruction that's here, so some years back it was an immunity issue. The parents had immunity on this. And then the legislature changed it, and I believe it was in 96. There's a case, I think it's 2002, Radford versus State. I don't have the site off my head, but it's a Florida Supreme Court case, actually out of an appeal from the Fourth. And in that case, it essentially came down to what turned into this instruction. And the case wasn't clear on who had the burden, so the instruction has both here. And it heads it by saying, if the burden of persuasion is on the defendant, and then there's a paragraph, and then the next one says, if the burden of persuasion is on the state, and then there's a paragraph.
So this is not the first rodeo on an aggravated child abuse case, and I assume it's not the first time this defense has been raised by defense counsel. So you're telling me there's no case that tells the court which part of the instruction should be read as to where the burden lies with respect to the defense?
So I found a conflict in jurisdictions.
All right, so what's the Fourth say? That's where we'll start with the Fourth.
Governor, can I just read something from the...
Well, I don't want to cut Mr. Waheed out, and then I'll come back to you, Ms. Black.
So my understanding is that Radford, which comes out of the Fourth and becomes a Supreme Court case, is the one that I have found out of the Fourth, which, in my view, it basically allowed... It didn't really specify who had the burden, from my reading of it. And I don't know.
Do we know what instruction was approved in that case? What ultimately they affirmed or overruled as far as what should have been read?
So there was a mistake in the reading of the jury instructions in that case, so it gets messy to get into that. But subsequent to that case is this amended instruction that we now have in front of us.
So the amended instruction, which gives me no clarity, is a result of the lack of clarity from the Radford or Radford decision?
R-A-D-F-O-R-D.
All right, the Radford decision. And there have been no other, what about any other DCAs that have addressed the issue?
Well, to be honest with you, I went with the Supreme Court. That was the last Supreme Court case.
But it gives me no guidance. If it's telling me, if it doesn't pick one or the other, then I don't know that it helps me.
So my take, Judge, is that it used to be an immunity issue. It's now an affirmative defense. So I would take it as other affirmative defenses, such as self-defense, where the burden of raising it is on the defense, and then the burden of persuasion is on the state. So in my position, I think that's a fair read, considering it at one point in time was you had the immunity of it back in the day as a parental defense.
All right, so Ms. Black, you wanted to add something or read something?
Pursuant to the jury instructions, it states that Florida Statute 827.03 in case law are silent as to, one, which party bears the burden of persuasion of the affirmative defense, and two, the standard for the burden of persuasion. Under common law, defendants had both the burden of production and the burden of persuasion on affirmative defenses by preponderance of the evidence. The Florida Supreme Court has often decided, however, that once a defendant meets the burden of production on an affirmative defense, the burden of persuasion is on the state to disprove the affirmative defense beyond a reasonable doubt, so such as the self-defense or the consent to enter into...
Isn't that kind of what Mr. Waheed is saying?
Yes.
So where's the dispute then? If you're reading that and that's what Mr. Waheed is saying, then it sounds like the burden of raising it starts with the defense, but once they've met a threshold, then the burden shifts to the state to disprove. Yeah. And the question is, the burden that shifts to the state to disprove, what standard is that? Is that beyond a reasonable doubt or is that preponderance?
From the reading, it would, if the burden of persuasion is then on the state to disprove that affirmative defense, it would be beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay.
I agree with that. It's like self-defense.
So it sounds like we don't really have an issue then. Do we, Ms. Black? And that is one of the options that is spelled out in the model standard instruction, that what you've just described is the way it works. Let me see, read that part that fits what you just said is your understanding of the law. And so tell me again what I'd be reading to the jury with respect to the burden, the part of that instruction. I think it's the second part you were reading.
For if it's on the state?
Yeah, if it's on the state. Okay. Because I kind of hear you saying that you don't disagree with that belief.
It's not that I don't disagree. It's just that the defense has not put on that burden of production of the affirmative defense.
That's what I asked earlier. Is that something that I make a decision on and it never even gets to the jury to decide? Or does the jury have to decide that the defense has met the burden of by preponderance of the evidence of coming forth with enough evidence? And then if they believe that, now the state has the burden of disproving that by evidence beyond into the exclusion of reasonable doubt. That's the question that I have for you to address.
Your Honor, I don't have an answer to that just because it says that the case law okay. is silent as to...
Do this. Let me read the instruction right now. And do you have the Radford decision with you?
I do have a copy.
Okay, so is that the only significant issue?
Yes.
All right, so come armed tomorrow with two versions of that instruction, one with the version where the burden shifts to the state after the threshold is met by the defense, and the other one where it follows the common law, and I will read the Radford decision, read the instruction that you're going to give to me in just a moment, and then I'll make a decision at the beginning tomorrow as to whether I need additional argument or whether I'm going to rule as to which ones to be read.
And I think we... One moment, Judge.
Your Honor, may I approach?
You may.
And so we're also asking for the lesser, which is jury instruction 16.3.
Just regular child. There's no real issue with the lesser, is there?
No, I already added that into it. It's just the...
Well, lesser is the lesser to aggravated child abuse, the lesser is child abuse. What about any lessers to false imprisonment or child neglect? No lessers to those? So I don't think there's an issue there. So I would be inclined to go ahead and agree that the lesser should be read in relation to the primary charge of aggravated child abuse. So that should...
I'm sorry to interrupt, go ahead. Honor, but what I did is with the jury instructions, I did the aggravated child abuse, the false imprisonment, and then the neglect. And then right after that, I did the 3.4 when there are lesser...
Yeah, that's the way I typically do it.
The child.
Yeah. You read all the primary charges, then you get into the lessers. Yeah. That's the way I typically have them. Now, you've done jury trials in front of me. Just make sure that the order of the instructions are in the order that I require them. I think they were very close the last time I looked at. So I'm not able to answer the one question that I know grips all of you at this point as to which instruction will be read on the issue of the defense, but I'll make that ruling, as I said, at the beginning of tomorrow when we start. But come with... You know, one page, it's a one page instruction, right?
Yeah.
One of each so that we can slip them in to the packages and then we'll go from there.
And then for weighing the evidence, we have 6 through 10. Number 6 is, has the witness been offered or received any money, preferred treatment, or other benefit in order to get the witness testified? I think we can include that just because.
Well, it should be because of the expert testimony.
Yes. Then we have, had any pressure or threat been used against the witness that affected the truth of the witness's testimony?
I don't really care one way or the other about that. I mean, I did not hear any real evidence of that, but
so that
can come out. If it comes out by agreement, I'm fine with it. Nothing for me to rule on.
Did the witness at some other time make a statement that is inconsistent with the testimony he or she gave in court?
I think that stays in based on the evidence.
And then I think the last two can come out. Has the witness been convicted of a felony, misdemeanor involving dishonesty or false statement?
That's not an issue in any part that I'm aware of. You agree with that, Ms. Wade?
I agree with that.
Does the witness have a general reputation for dishonesty, truthfulness?
I don't think there was reputation evidence here.
No.
Okay, so that comes out. So the only other aspect is going to be the part of the instruction that deals with defendant testifying or not. So you'll need two versions of that. So two versions of the defense instruction and two versions of the defendant testifying or not testifying. Just have those set aside so we can slip them in where they go. All right, anything else that I need? Go ahead, Mr. Wahi.
I know that you asked the state and you didn't ask me, but I'm just going to opine anyways that I do think that the defense is like self-defense, which means you just once the defendant raises it, even and you know under certain case law, the wording is a scintilla of evidence, that is in then the instruction can be read.
Yeah, maybe I assume your position was it has to go to the jury, that I don't make the decision to take it away from them.
100%.
Yeah, I assume that was your decision. Okay. That's why I didn't ask you expressly, because I presume that was where you're going with it. Okay, so before we conclude for today, let's address, I think we talked Friday about the closings being anticipated to be an hour and a half per side. Does that still hold?
Yeah.
All right, so for the state, how are you going to allocate your time between closing and rebuttal?
An hour and 15 for closing.
All right, with a 5-minute warning or a 10-minute?
5 minutes.
5-minute warning on each one, and then. Okay. And then how about the defense, just a 5-minute warning?
I might ask for a
15-minute. It's fine. If you just tell me what you want. I'll give you whatever you need. 15 and 5, is that?
Can I get 30 and 5?
You can get whatever you want on that. 30.
Okay.
All right, 30 and 5 will be fine. All right, so that, Danny, you have all that?
Yes, sure.
All right, so I don't know. We'll start at 1. It's going to get us to 4. We'll have a conversation after the closings with breaks and stuff. We are going to be very close. We might as well address it now. We're going to be very close to 5 o'clock tomorrow, starting at 4, starting at 1 with 3 hours of closing and with breaks in there. Whether we, after closings, recess until the next day so that they have the entire day as opposed to send them in the room at close to 5 o'clock. I'm generally hesitant to do that because I never want a jury to feel rushed in terms of their verdict. Let me hear thoughts from both sides on this, because it's going to come up tomorrow, no doubt in my mind. Because my suspicions are that we'll get very, very close to 5 o'clock before we're done with closings.
Well, the state's position is,
I think if you allow them to go back there, it allows you to release the alternates. They can do a four-person. Otherwise, you kind of technically, I think, have to bring the alternates back.
Well, but that's the concern I have, is that I won't release the alternates till I send them back there. If I release the alternates tomorrow and then we have a problem, then we have a problem. So my feelings would be not to release the alternates until I know that they're going to go in and have time to deliberate. But we do it. I mean, there's a risk. I mean, the six that are the primary jurors, they've been here the whole time, so I don't anticipate any problems. But you want to have another conversation on this tomorrow, late in the day?
Just to be clear, I think from our position would be on the defense that we just bring them all back on Thursday morning and let them start fresh. You know, these are long days. I agree. I don't want the jury rushed. I don't want them feeling exhausted and having to hurry to a decision. And if the downside is the alternates have to come back the next morning, I think that's just part of the job.
Well, I mean, for the alternates, it's not going to be good news no matter how you cut it. They will have sat through 7-8 days of trial, and then they're going to be excused. Maybe they will be happy to be excused. Sometimes they are. Other times I can see the disappointment in their eyes. Let's have a conversation about this tomorrow later in the day. I mean, my druthers, Mr. Wahid, are to do what you're suggesting and have them start fresh on Thursday rather than dropping it on them late on Wednesday afternoon. But if we finish early, if the closings only take an hour or hour and 15 minutes, then, you know, we'll go to plan B in that event. Then we have time to put them in the jury room for an hour to talk about things.
We're going to work on jury instructions at the end, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that you come in with a very close to final set. I will tell you what my ruling is after I review this information in terms of the defense. So I don't expect a lot of argument that's going to be required, but I'm giving us an hour if there's anything to get. One, once I rule, it gives you time to administratively get the packages together, gear up for your closing arguments, and then we'll go from there. And then also to do the colloquy, because you're going to advise me as to whether he's going to testify outside the presence of the jury, and then I'll do the colloquy. All right, good enough, everybody? Anything else? All right, court is in recess, and I'll see everybody tomorrow at noontime.
There's more to come.
Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Thurita from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.